Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out.
I've been ready, man.
Ready.
Starting off already talking shit. Welcome back to Coolin' Out.
Kev.
Sal.
Rel.
Jay Lewis,
look at that. I'm about to introduce him. He's like, nah, fuck that. I'm doing my own thing. I'm here today. Jay Lewis. What's up, man? How are you?
Man, I'm doing amazing.
Yeah? That's good, man. Introduce yourself to the people, listeners. Let them know who you are.
Jay Lewis, artist, well-rounded artist, tattoo artist, painter, draw, you name it. I can do it. That's who I am.
That's confident.
That's who I am. You see the way he's holding the mic? Right.
Word, he's holding it like Jesus.
Like Morpheus.
like it's convenient or something. My mic.
Justin.
You speak.
Yes, brother.
But nah, man, thank you for coming through, man.
Yes.
Most definitely. Thank you. Yeah. So, I like starting off with the origins, you know, like storytelling type. So, where are you from? Originally, like, what made you want to tattoo, things like that?
I was born in the Bronx.
Okay.
Bronx,
yeah, yeah.
I'm living on White Plains Road, 220th Street, about 9 years. Parents, you know, I moved down to Florida.
Gotcha.
But before we moved down to Florida, I was always in the art. You know what I'm saying? When your auntie or your mother or whoever's babysitting you and they don't feel like watching you, or they feel like watching you, but you know,
they're just there.
They just throw some paint and some pencils and just have you go at it.
Gotcha.
So that was pretty much my inspiration to, you know what I'm saying, to keep pushing, keep drawing. I have my own little sketchbook for 9, 8, 7 years old. So we moved down to Florida and, you know, I was still just drawing and painting. And then we got to high school. And I found myself doing drawings for people to get tattoos and stuff like that. And that transferred into drawing on T-shirts. So I would do that mainly because I didn't have the bread to go out shopping for clothes and stuff like that. So
gotcha.
I said, all right, cool, let me go get some paint. Let me go get a white T-shirt. And I'm going to paint the colors on
it. And that shit was popping back in the days.
You know, you had Knock 29 out.
The big Looney Tunes characters.
Yeah, Looney Tunes characters.
Those were dope.
I was pretty much doing my own clothing line. I didn't even know it.
Gotcha.
So I had, you know, the students, the classmates and stuff that was there, they would see it and, you know, they'd be like, yo, make me a shirt. So already in high school, I already had a job for myself. I was already an entrepreneur without even knowing it.
Dope.
So then I guess in 12th grade, that's when I decided that I wanted to do something with art. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I got tattooed around like 16. And my mom's almost killed me. Go front. And I thought if I got like a, you know, a religious piece like a cross,
she'd be,
you know,
cool with
she'd
it.
Be cool.
Nah.
And then I went ahead and got another tattoo at 17. I was trying to hide it, but then, you know, I was in the bathroom. I don't know what I was doing. Mom's walked by. She was like, man, she called up my pops. Grandmother, he's not listening to me and everything. So you fast forward 2 years later and I ended up doing tattoos.
Gotcha.
I ended up being a tattoo artist. And that was at 19. And now I'm 26, so I've been at it for 7 years strong.
Oh.
Once I got at it, I was working at this is before I started tattooing. I was working at Winn-Dixie for about a year and a half.
Winn-Dixie, the spot.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
It's a supermarket.
Okay.
Oh,
apologies. Apologies, Winn-Dixie.
So I was down
I thought it was a club.
It's like C-Town.
It was a tattoo parlor. Sorry. Is that a prominent tattoo parlor? Sorry. Continue.
It's a supermarket.
Yeah, it's a supermarket. So y'all was there pushing cars, doing a cash register job, doing all that stuff, you know, working for nothing. And I would go to this tattoo spot every day. After I got off work, like around 2 p.m. So I'll go there around 2 p.m. and I'll stay there until they close, like around like 9 p.m. And the artists there, you know, they seen that I can draw and stuff like that. I was drawing portraits for people, for their houses, for their tattoos. And they was like, yeah, come on in. So I went there every day and I started out tattooing myself. Tattoo like a little skull on my thigh. Somebody can't see it by myself.
Yeah.
And then I tattooed a couple of my friends, and then that led to like one faithful busy day in the tattoo shop. It was really busy. They had a lot of people out there that wanted to get tattooed, and I just happened to be there. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Hey, you want to take on this tattoo?" I'm like, "Sure, let's do it."
Yeah.
Took on a tattoo. It was three little diamonds, something simple. At the time, it was a big job for me.
Yeah.
But looking back, I'm like, "Yo, I did that." So. took on the tattoo. They took a couple of pictures. They sent it to the owner, and the owner was like, "All right, cool, he's hired." Mm. So then I worked there for a week. I still held on to Winn-Dixie for 1 week, and then I got the check from tattooing, and then I got the check from Winn-Dixie.
You looked at him?
I looked at him both.
You had to squint at one, didn't you?
Yeah, I slept on it, and I was supposed to go to work the next day. It was a Tuesday. They called me up. They said, "Hey, you coming in? It's 7 a.m. You're supposed to be here." It's like 8 a.m. now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not coming in." Like, "Are you going to be a little bit late?" I'm like, "Nah, yeah, I'm not coming in today." He was like, "Are you going to be here tomorrow so we know to put you on a schedule?" I said, "No, I'm not going to be here tomorrow either."
I never have to worry about that again.
So I told her, I forgot her name, but I told her, I said, yeah, I quit. And he was like, "Oh, okay, well, I'll let such and such know." And I'm like, "All right, cool." And I went back to sleep. Woke up an hour later, got in the car, and drove to the shop. And it was a wrap since then. It's been tattooed.
Bye-bye, Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, bye-bye. I never looked back, man. So it's 7 years strong now.
That's dope. How was that like, moving down south? Like, as an adolescent?
Shit was different, man.
Yeah.
I walked outside, and nobody was outside.
Mm.
I'm riding my bike because I'm used to walking outside, seeing everybody, you know, seeing the city alive here in New York. And, you know, there was always something to do here. But then going outside to a neighborhood, you know, I was thinking, you know, we used to travel down to Florida almost every summer when we can. And we would always go to the tourist spots, you know, with the nice green grass and all that good stuff. Is that
got you.
But then we went to spot called Pine Hills area, and it wasn't Disney.
What part of Florida is that in?
That's in like Orlando, Florida.
It's near Orlando,
so,
okay.
Yeah, it's about like 45 minutes from Disney.
Got you.
Yeah, and about like from where I was at, it's like maybe 20 minutes from Universal. Cool. But I guess you would call it the hood. Now the hoods is different from up here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you up here, you go there, it's like. But the hoods down there is still, you know, you still got your people at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's still certain things going on. But it was just different, man.
Yeah.
It was a shell shock. It was a calm down experience. So pretty much, like, when I come up here, I still got that New York state of mind as far as the hustle, the grind, doing what I got to do to survive, live in the concrete jungle. But then... what Florida did for me was pretty much cool me out.
Yeah.
Like, it added that coolness to it to where I'm cooling out.
Hey.
So like when I come up here, I'm real chill, I'm real relaxed, but my mind is still moving.
Yeah.
But I'm able to see things at like more of a slower pace.
Yeah.
While everybody's just hustling and bustling around. Just sit back and just watch.
Yeah.
Just observe.
I feel like I moved to Atlanta when I was 13 and like kind of similar circumstances. Like it was a totally different world for me. Like I went down there a couple of times. My dad used to live down there, but then my mom was like, "Go live with your dad." I had to go live down there. Live down there. I was like, yo, this shit is a totally different world. But nah, now that I'm back, I can still hustle and bustle, but still like sit back and observe everything that's going on around me and just chill sometimes.
Yeah.
And not be moving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. But I love it, man. I love coming up here. Yeah. All the time.
How are the hoods different? Like, I know when you go to the hood in the Bronx, it's like everyone's chilling on the stoop. You know, you got your
everyone
people throwing.
Hispanic.
And black. Don't act like that. Don't act like that. It's not just us. Nah, but like the, you know, the typical hood. Like, how is it different down there? Because when I think of Florida hood, I'm picturing Trick Daddy and Kodak and Rick Ross. I don't know. But like, how is it different? And how was it different for you as far as atmosphere and energy from New York to Orlando?
Man, that's a tough question right there.
Yeah, usually Kev has the tough ones, but we had to come today.
Yeah. I mean, both places, they still have very similar circumstances as far mm-hmm. as, you know, being who we are as people and in those lower income areas and stuff like that. So pretty, that's still the same, but as far as, like, living situations, for instance, is a little bit more spacious down there.
Way more.
You got more space down there, and what that allows is you have more space to think, pretty much. So if you're living in a crowded place, like the projects up here and stuff like that, you're more, everything is right on top of you. Down there in Florida, you can breathe a little bit more.
Yeah.
Even if you're going through certain situations, you can still breathe because there's still space around you. And mentally, if you have space around you, you have more space up here to think. So that's one of the big differences. Everything's not on top of you in Florida, and the cost of living is cheaper down there. Even though the jobs pay less, the cost of living is still a little bit, you know what I'm saying, less down there.
Got you. Being like you're from New York, you live in Orlando now, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you travel back and forth for business. Mm-hmm. What's the grind? Like, what's the difference in the grind as like when you come up here to like do tattoos for clients up here versus you grinding for business down in Florida? Like, do you notice a difference between like how you move within the tattoo world between both cities?
People up here, like, since it's so much more fast paced,
mm-hmm.
they just ready. They don't want to waste no time. And being that I'm only here for a certain amount of time, it's hard to judge because when I come up here, the appointments are already stacked up. So they just come in, they come in, they come in. Down there, it's the same thing, but it's a little bit more, I wouldn't even say slow, it's just people have a little bit more time to think.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with artwork, when you have way more time to think about it, just like anything in life, once you think too hard on it,
you
change your mindset.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I can have an idea and I'm ready. I know exactly how it's going to look. And this is even in both spots, New York and Florida. I know exactly how I'm going to do it. But, you know, being that they have so much time to think, and you have a lot of time to think in Florida, especially because everywhere you go, you got to drive.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, you got to drive. So I'm always ready, and I know the idea. They come to me, and they be like, yo, I want to get this, this, and that. And from there, I'm like, okay, I got the perfect idea. Let's do this, this, and that. And with that time, sometimes I'll think about it too much, and, you know, it kind of drops the idea a little bit. But at the end of the day, all I need is the trust in people.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? As long as I got their trust in the work, then the work is going to come out solid. If they're kind of finicky about it, then the work is going to be like, okay, I don't know if I really want to do this project.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not really a big difference. Like, I'm still busy in both places.
Mm. So are you independent? Like, are you working for a shop here, a shop there, or how?
I'm totally independent, 100%. I started tattooing 19, and I was in the game for about 4 years. And with doing that, I worked at the one shop that hired me first.
Mm-hmm.
Then they actually ended up firing me because some situation with my ex-girl's So, fired me over a situation.
I do it too, yeah. I do it too.
So, you know, coach by association. fishing, whatever, whatever. So they fired me off for that, and I was tattooing out the spot for a little bit. And then I got to another shop, and then I went to another shop and another shop. So I went, I kept on jumping from shop to shop, learning mm-hmm. what I needed to learn.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll move on if I feel like that shop is no longer teaching me. And sometimes the shop didn't even, it's not even, when I say learning, it wasn't even about learning about art, just how to manage, you know, yourself, your people, your surroundings, who to deal with, who not to deal with. So I learned a lot on a wide spectrum, especially with the business.
Yeah.
So I got to like my fourth year of tattooing, and I realized that every time that I would leave a shop, I would want to just tattoo out my spot and focus strictly on my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that it wasn't the shops that was keeping me afloat. It was my mental, and it was my my dealings with my clientele that was keeping me afloat.
Yeah.
Shop had nothing to do with it. That was just a spot. You know what I'm saying? Where they come and get tattooed. So I changed my perception on it, on just focusing strictly on my clients, on my work ethic, on my skills, how I'm applying the tattoo, and how the client feels when they leave. Like if they feel like, yo, this is an amazing tattoo, I want to come back.
And, yeah.
You know, when they come to me and they be like, you know, I got stopped so many times. People stop me all the time. They see my sleeve, but they always point at that one tattoo you did. They're like, yeah, I see that, but who did that one?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
That's a dope feeling, I can imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, all right, cool, I did my job.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Let's keep this going. So I kept that going. And on my fourth year, I said, okay, I'm not going to work in anybody else's shop until it's my own shop. So I jumped on the traveling thing. I kept going back and forth to New York. Met a lot of amazing people. Tattoo Ryan. Mm-hmm. Ryan, his girl. And, you know, I met so many people through it that I look back and I realize that for 3 years straight, I've been doing it strictly independent, strictly off of me talking to my clients. And I realize that my clients really, they're like my supporters. They are my supporters. They're more like a family. I'm saying,
yeah.
So if I'm across town and be like, oh, yo, where you at? I'll just come to you. And I started realizing, like, oh, it's really not about, you know, the shop or anything like that. They want the work, so they're going to come to where I'm at, and that support, that's love. So
yeah.
I focused on those type of people, because those are the type of people that I want pretty much around. Those. That's the foundation right there.
Mm.
Yeah.
I ask you some real questions now.
What's up?
What's the craziest tattoo you've
ever done? I was going to ask that.
Wait, two questions. What's the craziest tattoo you've ever done, and what's the weirdest tattoo that you've rejected that you said, no, I'm not doing that? Like, what's the weirdest request you've ever got, and you was like, nah, I'm not doing that? Boy, Rel, be thinking about his questions.
The coolest tattoo I did was on this, I think she was about 70 years old.
70?
70.
Mm.
Her husband died, and she said her husband never wanted her to have a tattoo.
Rebellious.
So he passed and everything, and she came into the tattoo shop. And I'm sitting there. This was like I was tattooing for like 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there watching her. My mind, I'm like, you know, what's she doing here? She's just looking at the artwork and
yeah.
buying it and stuff like that. So let me go talk to her. So I went up there and I talked to her. She's like, yeah, I'm looking at getting a tattoo. And I'm like, really? She's like, okay, well, I'm going to let you keep on looking through the flash work and, you know, you tell me what you want. She came back. She said, okay, I want this. She pointed at it and it said, total bitch. It said, total bitch. And, you know, I had the pink and the pretty colors in there. It was total bitch and the banner and stuff like that. Like, you sure? I'm like, all right, well, fill out this paperwork. She filled out the paperwork, paid the money. Next thing you know, I'm in there setting up the needle, and I got the stencil right there that says total bitch, and I'm about to tattoo on this 70-year-old woman. Start tattooing, and she tell me her whole story, her whole spill, and I'm like, wow. She's like, yeah, so my husband died. He didn't want me getting tattooed, so I figured I'll just get one when he dies. Wow. She did exactly that, man. She got the tattoo, and I was like, wow, that was one of the coolest tattoos.
Where'd she get it?
She got it on the arm.
Oh, okay.
Right there, right on her bicep, right on her muscle.
She flexing with it. Yeah, she wanted it to be seen.
Yeah, definitely. Now the weirdest tattoo. I had to turn down. That's a tough one.
Or the weirdest one that you've even done. One that you was like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah,
but
like,
I'm
you sure?
But I'm going to take this money.
Boyfriend name tattoos, girlfriend name tattoos. Yeah.
Regrets.
Yeah.
It's like that commercial was like, no regrets.
No regrets.
Then that has to be it. I've tattooed a few, and some of them.
And you know when you're doing it.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I'm going to be here when you want to cover it up.
Yeah, I was about to say. I know you've done some cover ups.
Yes.
That's extra money for me.
I had this couple come in. They got a tattoo together. She got it real small on her wrist, and then he got it right across his throat.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there like, you really want that across your throat? Like,
he didn't see that inequality?
Yeah.
Oh.
He
won it.
He was sure.
Isn't that painful?
Yeah.
On the Adam's apple?
Painful, yeah. It hurts.
What would you say is the most painful area to get a tattoo?
Good
question.
Imagine pressing on my Adam's apple repeatedly.
My most painful area was my knuckles, which a lot of people say it don't hurt to them, but it hurt me. And my collarbone. That was a bitch. But my client's point of view is the ribs is really sensitive. Elbow area, the inside of the arm, and a lot of it is painful, but more so is irritating. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And when you're sitting there, you're tattooing and then you're wiping, and I've been tattooed before on the inside of my arm, and I'm looking at the artist like, yo, you gotta wipe that hard. And I know the whole process of doing it, but being on the other side, you know, laying on the table, it's like, yeah, this is what my clients go through?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
It's what they go through is, you know, you go through what you really want. But at the end of the day, you go through the pain, and you get something that you wanted at the end.
Gotcha.
Versus, like, your girlfriend trying to stick you with a needle. And
then,
you know,
this might be a very dumb question, but I've always wondered because, like, I've gotten a couple tattoos, and I'm just like, how do you, like, for example, when someone's like just like digging into your skin with a needle, basically just going in and like shading all that stuff, and they wiping off, how do they know how much ink to actually use? Like, how do you know, like, to do, like, an even distribution of ink so that the end of the tattoo is all shaded the same way, things like that? Because, like, when I'm looking at it while I'm getting tattooed, it just all looks blurry as hell. Like, it's like, all right, you're just wiping all this stuff across me. And then when it's done, it's like, oh, it's perfect. I'm looking with the side eye like, this bitch fucking up.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'll be wondering why people be looking at me while I'm tattooing. I see them on my periphery.
You got to make sure.
You know what you're doing. But I guess it's just... everybody has their own technique. Like, I have my own technique.
Okay.
So, with me, I just dip real quick. It's just a quick dip inside of the ink cap, and I go with it. And I know what shades, variations of what I'm using. So, I have it all laid out. So, when I'm laying out, like, my black and grays that I use, I have my, from my extra light all the way to my extra dark. And I had it laid out in, you know, like, probably, like, 5 or 6 or 7 ink caps.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's all laid out, I know which one I'm dipping into. Then I have my rinse cup, and then, you know, I rinse it out, dip into this color, dip into that color. But what other people see is a whole bunch of blacks.
That's what I see.
Like, if I run out of this one, I'm going to use this one. Yeah. And then I run out of that one.
All I see is there's a bunch of rubbing on my shoulders. And I'm like, yo, what are you doing?
Let me see.
And then I feel pain. And then back to wiping. Like, all right, you must know something I don't know.
So it's all about the person's technique. Really, at the end of the day.
How would you say you've improved as an artist over the course of the 7 years?
How would I improve?
How would you say you have improved from day one, like at 19 compared to now at 26?
Oh, hell yeah, I improved.
Yeah. Like, some key things you've learned.
Some key things I learned in improvement. Number one was patience. Because when you're working with skin, it's so much more different. Canvas. You know what I'm saying? So when you're working with a pencil on paper and you're doing, really light shading, you know, it's cool and you see the shade right then and there.
Mm.
But then when you're working with a needle and you're doing some really light shading on skin, you'll shade, but then you have, sometimes the skin will get irritated and it'll bleed a little bit.
Mm.
So sometimes you have to wait in order to see that light tone. So you have to wait a couple minutes. Some people will shade and they don't see it yet. It's there. Mm-hmm. They just gotta wait until the skin settles, but they'll keep shading it and shading it and shading it until they finally see it. And when they do finally see it, being that they went over it so many times, it ends up scarring the skin. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I'm pretty sure most artists and all artists learn through trials. You know, and that's the best way to learn. I mean, we've all have our...
Not on my skin.
You know,
I feel like there's unlucky souls out there with just
there
scarred
is.
Tattoos.
Some people that learn, some people have the opportunity that somebody teaches them like what to do and what not to do, mm-hmm. and then other people they don't have that opportunity. They have to learn through trial and error, through practicing on their friends, even messing up on some clients. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? That's a part of the game. So with me, I learned like when I came into the tattoo industry. They pretty much told me the basics on how to set up your machines, what machines to use, what was some good inks to use. And I was grateful for that because the shop that I went to, Ink Spot, shout out to them for giving me the opportunity. I went there and they were all using top quality things. Like they told me, don't go on eBay and get a tattoo kit. So I went in there and I'm like, yeah, I want a tattoo kit because from the hood, that's what we... learn what it is. It's a tattoo kit. It's a tattoo gun. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
It's not what it's called. It's a tattoo machine. It's not shaped like a gun. Don't call it a gun. It's a machine. It doesn't shoot. It doesn't do it. No. It's a tattoo machine. You're going to use this machine. So the first machine that I bought for myself was $250. But then the tattoo kits online, you get like two machines, some ink, some needles, and everything for like $150. But then the outcome of, you know, you have a shitty machine, it's running loud as hell, and then it might chew up the skin even more, and, you know, it's a lot of things that I learned from going about it the right way. I went to other shops wanting to learn how to tattoo before I actually got into the industry. And, you know what I'm saying, it's sad to say this, but I went to my own kind, so I went to a black-owned.
Yeah, like, yo, it's not sad to say.
Put me on, but what's sad is they didn't put me on.
Yeah, and that's
coming. Yeah, he's like, I
saw that coming. I didn't see that coming. I had faith in my brothers.
Nah,
too much.
I saw that coming. They didn't put me on, and I'm pretty sure it was multiple reasons why. You know, I came in there with my drawings or whatever, and that's probably not the reason why they didn't put me on. But a lot of times when people don't want to put you on, it's either two things. Is either they feel threatened by you or they don't know what the hell they're doing, so they can't teach you nothing. But they're too proud to admit that. They'll just turn you away. So those very same
people...
I never
thought about that second one. Damn.
Those very same people that turned me down are the very same people that's looking at me asking questions on how to do this and how to do that. So when I went to that shop that turned me away the first time, I ended up working there. That was my second shop I worked at. And after working there for a little bit, you know, I came there, they knew more knowledge than me. But I soak up things quickly. I'm like a sponge. You know what I'm saying? I'm from New York, so you know, you learn things very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I soaked up everything, and I would just sat back, and I just observed everything that they're doing. They really didn't have to tell me anything. And I just needed to know, like, simple, very simple things. It's just like, so, for instance, portraits. Nobody never taught me how to do a portrait. I learned from drawing.
What's a portrait for the one individual in here without a tattoo? What's a portrait?
A portrait, a face. Like tattooing a face?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
good question, Kev. I ain't know why. I was like, all right, cool. The Mona Lisa. Cool.
The Mona Lisa.
Portrait.
Something with great with gold around the trimmer.
Yeah. I was like, I'll catch on eventually. Just keep talking.
See him Googling portrait on this.
That make a mental note.
So, yeah, it was the portrait. They didn't know how to do portraits in the shop, so it was just all for me just knowing how to draw. And a lot of people don't know that's the first step. You don't know how to draw, then, for instance, when you have a stencil, like somebody put a stencil on you,
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, with the wiping and stuff, you will lose that stencil. And if you lose that stencil and you don't know how to draw, you can't just sit there and draw back on there freehanded with the needle.
Yeah.
So that's how sometimes the tattoos get messed up, because they just know how to trace and, you know, do some shading and stuff. They don't actually know the techniques of and how important it is to know how to draw, to know how to paint, to know how to do all those important things that ties into tattooing. So when I went in there and I was doing the drawings and stuff that I like to do, and I was translating it over the skin, I found that when a piece would come in and it was for another artist to do, for instance, he was like, "Yo, Jay, you know, come over here. How do I do this?" Now, these are the very same people that turned me away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do I do this? I'm saying, like, well, you do that, you do this, you do this. And it was one day I was sitting right over his shoulder as he was tattooing the client. I'm like, "Yeah, you just want to shade there, just whip that out right there. And, you know, you want to do all of that." So that right there let me know that these people turned me away because they didn't know truly what they were doing. And when I was asking them simple questions like, "How do you mix gray wash?" And gray wash is the watered down black ink.
Mm.
How do you mix it? And there's always like a little secret to them. Like, they didn't want to let you know. So I ended up leaving that shop, and all of a sudden when I left it, I turned into their competition. They even said it. Like, "You became my competition." I'm like, "What you mean I became your competition? Like, I'm nobody's competition. I'm my own competition at the end of the day. But, you know what I'm saying? If we work together, why are you going to start treating me like I'm competition to you?"
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, when you just gave them advice.
Yeah, I gave them advice, you know what I'm saying?
After they wouldn't give you?
I'm bringing, you know, clients to the shop. And even if I bring clients to the shop, even if they come to me because of the shop is there, they're continuously coming back to the shop to get work from me.
Yeah.
So initially, I'm helping build the brand of the shop.
Yeah.
Like, I'm helping with that as well. So when I leave because of whatever situation, you know, I want to grow a little bit more. I want to work around more dedicated and passionate artists. I want to work around different people.
Mm.
Why are you going to look at me like I'm competition now? You know what I'm saying? That's kind of messed up, especially, you know, we brothers and we're doing the same thing. And if you have a question, I'm more than welcome to tell you, you know what I'm saying, how to go about it.
Yeah.
So I ended up leaving, and I came back to the shop, and then, you know, they came, started treating me a little different. I left again, went to another shop, learned some more stuff, improved on my skills. Worked with them, like, for about a month, and then I left again. And then after that, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do my own thing now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why do black people act like that, though?
I don't know, man.
A lot of black people act like that, though. Like, not just, like, in our professions in general. Like, they just feel like there's only enough room for, like, so many of us. Like, I can't help you. Like we have to be competition. We're, like, it shouldn't be like that.
Man, that's the house nigga shit.
Yeah.
That's straight up. It's, you don't want to see them accomplish more than what you're doing. And that's messed up. You want to help them out at the end of the day. Like me, there's artists that come to me asking me, "How do I do this?" or "How do I do that?" or even with their pricing. And I even tell them the same thing. I'm like, "Yo, focus on your clientele. Mm-hmm. Don't focus on what anybody else is doing. Focus on your clients. Focus on your work ethic. Focus on you."
Mm-hmm.
Especially mentally. I said, just have patience with it, man. And if you just stay dedicated to what you're doing and you don't let, like, the outside interference and even, like, fucking girls and all, let all that shit go. At the end of the day, if you focus on what you're doing and, you know, you helping others with the information that you got, and you doing everything that you love and everything, man, the women will chase you and you'll have an option. Okay, never mind. You know, you'll have options for that. And it's the same thing in life. Once you focus on what you really love, there's things that'll come to you, and you'll have an option to take that on or let it go, rather than you struggling and you just taking anything that comes at you.
Yep.
I'll say, definitely, when I first got the tattoo from Justin, I was nervous as fuck because the shit hurts. So I remember I got this little ass cloud on my arm, And the guy, I felt like the guy didn't even care. Like, I was sitting there just like, and he was probably laughing at me, and my girl was there like, are you serious? But
that's your first tap?
This one, yeah, the cloud one. So I was just scared, and I didn't like the guy. I didn't feel connected with him. Like, it just, I didn't build a relationship with him. So when I got my first tattoo with Justin, I was super scared. Like, I was sitting there, my hair was like all over the place, my palms were sweaty. Like, my girl was talking to me, but at some point, like, I didn't even want to hear her voice. And then
he just joking.
Nah, yeah. No, but it's a process too, cause she got her tattoo done too. So I was just tired, and I think it was like 1 a.m.
Yeah, that was
we was there for a minute. And one thing I didn't realize, which is why I probably wouldn't go to any other tattoo artist, is the so when he does the tattoo and he's doing it on the skin, it's sort of like I always tell people this: you allow us to breathe in, and then you do it when we breathe out. So he'll stop when we're breathing in, and then he'll start again when we breathe out. And it allows you to build that breathing pattern. So it's like when you're running or you're bike riding or you're doing any type of strenuous activity, mm-hmm. when you're having a steady breathing pace, it allows you to be better. Like, your adrenaline might not be up. So it was a lot more calmer than I thought it was. And I think, like, I feel like as much as patience, also too, learning your customer, like, I feel like you learn your customers very well to the point where you allow them to be like, all right, it doesn't hurt as bad. And it's not what you thought it would be, in a way. And one of the things, too, like, I'm glad he came, was his, we started talking about the 48 laws of power and reading and motivation. So he talks to you while you're getting the tattoo done. So it's like, you don't even realize you're there for 6 hours sometimes, or 4 hours. I think we was watching, like, a Tyler Perry show. And we was just laughing, watching it, and I'm,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I didn't even think this shit was that funny. Like, so that's something, like, I always tell people, if you go to get a tattoo, make sure, like, the person actually cares, because, and I always tell them to go to you anyway, because out there, I feel like they want that quick buck. While you actually go to his house, he talks to you, he sits you down, and y'all have a conversation. So
how do you find him, Jay?
Through this guy I knew. I think his name was Josh. I just found him.
No.
Found Josh. No. And then, okay. Nah. I had I met Josh, and I had my first tattoo, and I wanted another one, but my mom was not having it. So Josh and my other boy, we both wanted these tattoos done. I would never thought I would be getting tattoos, but then I just went, and then when we got there, it's surreal to this moment. Like, I always imagine myself going and then leaving. Like, I'll come back later, but when you give someone your deposit, you're like, damn, you gotta go. Like, and I saw that too. I was like, damn, you kind of, that's to make sure, like, the person doesn't skip out on you, and if they do, at least you got some type of cash. I was that
makes
like,
sense.
But yeah, once I met Josh, if anybody knows Josh, he has a whole bunch of fucking tattoos, and he peer pressured me, so thank you, Josh. But yeah, like I always try to, if anybody wants a tattoo, to refer him to you, and then he gives you stuff at the end, like, oh, put this ointment on, this is a good cream, and the cream you gave me, this cream actually worked faster, like it peels, but it takes less than two, it took me less than 2 weeks for the peeling to come off. So, I mean, if anybody needs a tattoo, hit this guy up.
Yeah, I respect that because the little Asian lady who did my first tattoo, she ain't give a fuck about me.
You're done.
She ain't give a fuck. Like, she's good though. She's nice, but like, her conversation, we didn't have any conversation. I'm sitting there with my girl at the time, my ex, and this bitch was digging into my skin like. She's like, you big boy. And I'm sitting there, my girl looking at, like my ex looking at me, and she like, you know, I'm trying to be tough, you know. I'm like, ah, I'm good on the inside, bro. I was screaming. Like, if I could have cried, I would have cried right through there. That shit hurt so bad. I was like, why are you doing this to me? But yeah. So yeah, I respect that, and I'm sure your clients appreciate that shit because I'm sure they have similar stories to mine.
It's all about the connection, man. It's like when you have that connection with somebody, when you're doing work for somebody, the work just comes out better because you, that person and you have a connection to where you know how you want it, you know how they want it, and they trust you at the same time. So there's some clients where we don't really talk much, you know what I'm saying? And then there's some clients where I just connect with. Automatically. Yeah. But either or, both clients that really don't talk much or that really we have a conversation, the work still comes out good because at the end of the day they still have that trust.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm gonna accomplish what they, you know, their vision. I'm gonna bring it alive.
How do you guys sit there that long and don't talk though? That must be wild boring.
Man, how do you sit in a relationship? It's like it's love, man. It's love for what you do.
Yeah.
It's just love and wanting to see that end goal, that end process.
And that check, though. Let's not flex. Yeah, I'll be silent for 6 hours, too.
Oh, I didn't even know you was here.
How often are your sessions reaching 6 hours? Is that common?
Often, that's average.
Oh.
Yeah. Like this past Saturday, what was it, last Saturday? Yeah, last Saturday. My work ethic is crazy. I think it's crazy. So a typical day for me, like a Saturday, I will wake up around 6 a.m. And, you know, I'll get a good meditation, stretching and everything, get my mind right. And then, you know, I eat a good breakfast, walk my dog and everything. And then get back inside and I just start sketching, preparing for the tattoo. And then once that's done, make sure my clients come in, they show up, they see the tattoo, they love it. They say, all right, let's get it done. So on the past Saturday, I had like 3 tattoos to do. So the first client came there around 12 p.m., and I was finished with her by 3 p.m., and then the next client came at 3:30, and then I was finished with her. That didn't really take that long. Like by 4:30, I was finished with her. And then the next client came at 5, and then we started on her tattoo. We had to do some tweaking to it, you know, size it out and stencil it on her, let it dry and everything. We started her tattoo at 7 p.m., and we wasn't done until 5 a.m.
What?
It was, that was like...
what did she get?
She got the skull and rose with the full color.
Oh, that's the one you posted?
How often do you get those?
For like 24 hours that day. Because after she left at 5, you know, you're a little bit wired.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you miss that sleep window, which I usually go to sleep around 2 a.m., you know, I get a little bit drowsy, but I'm still up, I'm working, zoned in, and that sleep window just disappeared, and then I'm just in there for the next 3 hours. So I didn't get up going to bed until like 6 a.m., and then I got right back up by 10 a.m. because I was supposed to do a body painting, but then my the model, she ended up oversleeping because she had a crazy night the night before, clubbing and stuff, partying with her sister.
Priorities.
Yeah, my sister was going out of town and stuff like that, so you know I understood it. So ended up not working that day, really thankfully.
Yeah.
Because I was tired, to be honest with you. So that day I just ended up spending it with my kids and stuff. So that was a good thing. But yeah, that's like my typical work day, man. I get up mad early and I go to sleep mad late.
Jeez. You work 7 days a week? Or
nah, I try to keep it to like five, okay. Maybe six at the most.
Good.
Yeah, I don't try to over.
I'll need a break.
Yeah. And some days are busier than others. Yeah. But 6 hours is a good time that I like to work. 6-7 hours at the least.
Gotcha. How often are you reaching half a day? How often are you reaching almost half a day?
like that.
Like, yeah.
That's probably like a few times out of the month, maybe 3 or 4 times, depending on how I schedule the appointments. Yeah. Like that day, I knew it was going to be a crazy day because I booked it that day. I actually was supposed to only tattoo 2 people that day, but then on a Thursday where that second appointment was scheduled for, she couldn't make it, so I said, so I just booked it up that way. So it all depends on how I book it, really. I control the schedule.
Was that a process for you? Like, I'm sure it takes a lot of mental stamina to, like, because, like, you're drawing on someone. So you have to be, like, focused and locked in. So to be locked in for God knows how many hours, like.
And fighting sleep?
Yeah, and fighting sleep. So, like, is that something that you built over the years? Like, having that mental stamina to just be locked in on something like that?
And has it ever gone wrong? Rogginess won?
It never went wrong. Okay. I mean, I've done that before where I'm tattooing till the sun rises. What locks in that focus is the purpose of doing it. You know, the why. Like, why am I doing this? And focusing on the end goal of seeing the tattoo for that moment and seeing what I can do. And then looking back at that crazy day and be like, damn, yo, I really fucking worked 20 hours that day just straight tattooing and drawing.
Yeah.
And all of my clients left happy. Like, I posted it on Instagram, and you'll see them saying thank you so much. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, for the world to see it. So at the end, it's like that's the reason, that's the purpose. I want to see their happiness at the end of the day. Of course, I want to get paid for it, the work that I'm putting in.
Yeah.
But that's it's all about the purpose. If you got that purpose, you'll be amazed how much work you can actually put in.
So outside of you, like, say for example, someone requests a tattoo and you know, obviously do a sketch for it, this and a third, how often do you just sketch on your own time, like to brush up on your own skills, or like any creative tattoo ideas that just come to fruition for yourself and like, I'm gonna draw this out, and like have your own little portfolio for other people basically?
Yeah, it's tough, man. Lately, it depends on how busy I am. But as of lately, I really didn't have any time to draw out things that I actually wanted to draw out.
Gotcha.
A lot of the times, it's catering to what other people want. But at the same time, they want things that I like doing. You know what I'm saying? So it works. It's still a win-win. But a lot of the times, it's mainly in the wintertime. Fall, wintertime, that's when I really get my time to draw out like things that I, you know, like this t-shirt design. I did that in the winter time last year. So I had
a fly t-shirt. Really,
yeah, thank you.
You selling those?
Yeah, they're on my site, artaddictions.com.
Okay.
Yep.
Art of what?
Art Addictions.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Art Addictions.
Is that with an S?
Yeah.
Is that, see?
Yeah.
I
was
like, I searched it, but some weird shit came up.
Art Addictions with a Z.
Where it be some points I would ask.
See some naked dude drawing.
Wait, Ron, what's good with your boy, son?
Yeah, man, so shirt. So, like I said, back in high school, I was doing something that, you know, I actually wanted to do, was drawing on shirts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And today, I'm actually pretty much doing the same thing. Now I just have tattooing, and I still do drawings with people and stuff like that. So I'm just mixing everything.
That's dope. That's like your business is so multifaceted. Like, you're selling T-shirts, you're doing tattoos. Like, you, like, really are doing what you said in the beginning. I'm an artist. All above. Drawing. All of it. Nah, that's dope, though. Yeah.
What would you say is your primary, like, passion? Like, as far as tattooing things or drawing things, what do you... Because I see on Instagram you post, like, the sort of aphrodisiac, like, the Egyptian style paintings and everything. So, like, what is your favorite thing to tattoo? Or what is your style?
My style, at the end of the day, is what I love painting and drawing, is what you'll see the most. And what you'll see in my T-shirts. And that style has more to do than just the image itself. I mean, the image itself is important, because that's what we remember at the end of the day in our brain is images. So my purpose behind that is, like, a question I'll ask people is, when you think about Egyptian art, do you actually see yourself in it? Like, you'll see, you know, what they show you on TV, but do you really connect with it? And when they see you, when they show you pictures of who's in Egypt today, do you connect with it at the end of the day? Do you say, okay, my people was the one that built that civilization? The Nefertiti that they show you that's in the museum, that looks like my mother. Nah, don't.
I tell people all the time, people act like Egypt isn't in Africa.
A lot of people don't know. People think it's in Europe.
Yeah, they think it's like some little small island off the coast of Sweden or some shit. Like, it's not but a bunch of Swedish people. It's a little vacation spot. Like,
it's a resort.
It's in fucking Africa.
They don't know. They just don't know. So that's the reason behind my drawings and my paintings. That's what I love to do. Because when I look at the comments, I always look at my comments when I post. And I try my best ever to reply back to everybody, even if it's just a simple thank you. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, oh, this looks like my cousin, or this looks like, you know, this my most recent, this look like Meek Mills, or this look like Ice Cube, or this look like Lisa Ray. They're saying these look like people that looks like us.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And that's what I want. That's my push to show that it looks like those certain people, because it is those certain people. It is us at the end of the day. It is not what you see. Like, if you look up Egyptian costumes, Google Egyptian costumes, and you're gonna see who they want you to see.
White Cleopatra.
Yeah.
And it was fucking hot as fuck over down there. Everyone was probably our skin complexion.
Yeah, man. So yeah, that's my vision. That's my focus on the black art.
So business wise, 5 years, what do you see?
I see myself with multiple tattoo shops. I see myself with a successful foundation teaching kids how to be entrepreneurs and how to do what they love for a living. How to be creative and business-minded at the same time, and how to inspire other people. I see my clothing line really pretty much being successful. I want to own a few barbershops. I want to have a vegan restaurant. It's so many things that I want to do and that I'm going to do.
Wait, you're vegan?
Yeah.
What?
What's up about that after? Keep talking.
There's so many things that, you know, I'm doing it right now. One person told me before, they was like, you're famous, but it's going to take a little bit longer for other people to realize, you know, to realize that. You're already successful, but it's going to take other people a while to realize it. So I just keep doing what I'm doing. So in 5 years, I see me still doing what I'm doing now, just at another higher level. More focus and just more accomplishments and inspiring other people.
Yeah. Hopefully in 5 years we be in Revolt interviewing him again.
Right back up in here.
Not in here. In a better here, a better yeah, one.
Maybe exactly. In a booth somewhere.
What's your personal time like? Do you like go out? Do you hang with friends?
Great question. My personal time, man, is my personal time is quietness. Like it may sound crazy, but I barely listen to music anymore. Sometimes I barely even, I used to read a lot of books on like spirituality and how to meditate and how to do all those things. And for some people that worked, but for me, it was more so clouding my mind because it was just telling me how that author got to that state on how that author did things, which is a good, a good route to take if you really need that guidance. But with me, it was like it was better for me to just cut out everything and then experience it for myself and have my own way of going about things. So a lot of times, like when I'm driving, I don't turn on my music. You know what I'm saying? I sit there and I focus on what's in my head. And when I started doing that, it was tough because in silence, the music would still be playing in my head. The beat would still be playing. And it's more than just the music that's playing, it's the words that they're saying. And the words that they're saying that you keep on reiterating, you actually start living that life. So if you're listening to fucking hoes going clubbing, doing this, doing that, doing this, you actually start doing those exact things. So I did this fast where I didn't listen to music for 30 days. And then I cut back music on again, and I just started listening to the beats. And then I had to turn that off because I listened to the beats and then I just started saying the words. So I stopped listening to music for 30 days and I cut it back on and I was listening to Rick Ross, Dope Music. And I was listening to him and I was riding in my car and then he was like, got a chopper in the back, you know, police, blah, 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 blah. And I found myself like looking in my rearview mirror, like feeling like there was police behind me and it made me feel a certain way. And I read this thing before that said, watch what you listen to and watch what you, be careful what you watch. Because your mind records every little thing with words, beats, rhythms, vibrations, images. So in order to keep that mental clean, I cut it out. And me spending time with myself is actually, that's me spending time with myself when I do that stuff. And then when I get around other people, you know, I'm good. I'm better. I'm not thinking about, you know, what this person is saying, what that person is saying. I'm just still here. You know what I'm saying? I'm still in the present moment and just enjoying life. So that's one of the things that tattooing actually showed me, because with tattooing and with artwork, you have to be in that present moment and you have to be focused on what you're doing right then. You can't be thinking about how it's going to look when it's done. You just got to be thinking about how it's looking right now. And a lot of times tattoos or artwork in general, it may look like shit all the way through until you pop in those little white highlights, or until you add those last 5 minutes, it pulls everything together. And just be like, damn, okay, bet.
I'm scared for a second.
Yeah. They're going to love this. But that's another thing tattooing did for me. That's how I spend my time with myself.
Do you see friends often and stuff?
I see my friends here and there, but the more busy that I get, the less time that I have to hang out.
Yeah.
The less, because time is very, very, very valuable. And the time that I spend hanging out, I'd be thinking to myself, like, yo, I can be
making money,
doing this. I could be making money. I'm thinking of new ideas to make money. I could be improving on something. I can get to what I said I was going to get to a week ago. I could plan on getting to what I was, you know what I'm saying? It's so I stopped chilling as much and I started doing more. To the point where the thought of chilling is chilling to my soul. It's like,
wordplay.
Bars.
I don't want to do that, man. I don't want to chill, man. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing, keep my vision alive, because we only have so much time. Boy told me this one story where it was this dude, you know, he was selling drugs or whatever. Not even drugs, he was just selling plants. he was selling that, and, you know, he was likable around the neighborhood. Everybody loved him and stuff like that. Somebody shot him one day, and they said they did the autopsy, and they found out what happened. Come to find out is his daughter was reaching for a gun underneath his car seat, and she was pulling, tugging at it, trying to get it out. She didn't really know what it was, but she was trying to get it out. And in the process of doing that, she shot him in the back. Mm-hmm. She's only 7 years old. So he didn't wake up that day thinking, my daughter was going to shoot me in the back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She didn't do that intentionally. But that just goes to show, you really never know what's going to happen to you. You never know. Some people are afraid to go skydiving, and they say, oh, you know, I'm going to sign that waiver, blah, 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 blah. But this dude wasn't thinking that. He didn't know that he was going to get shot in his back. So there's so many different ways to die. You never know what's going to happen. My thing is just do what, you know what I'm saying, do what you love, and, you know, just be very wary of the time that you've got, because it's limited. Very limited.
Yeah, I think when we was talking, I was like, oh, you hung out with this person, you saw this person, or did you speak to that person? He was like, yeah, I just didn't have time to chill. Yeah. Like, I have things I have to do. And I'm just like, that's real. Like, you're not saying you don't want to chill with that person. You're just saying you have a goal, or you trying to accomplish something. You can't do that right now.
Yeah, that's it. There's a time and a place for it. Yeah. If you want to chill with me, then let's do business together. We could chill all day. If you want to do business with me, we can talk business, and we can, you know what I'm saying, we can still have a good time talking business, especially if we're talking about how we can expand and how to make our life better as a whole, rather than talking about pimping shit and all this other shit that's really going to bring
pimping.
Yeah, we have time and place for that. You know, we can mix that into talking about business and using it as analogies or whatever like that, and, you know, memories, but I'm not trying to sit there for a few hours talking about that. That's not going to do anything for me. At the end of the day, when I leave a conversation, I'm like, Did I gain anything from it, or did I help that person with whatever situation that, you know, they were going through? If there was nothing gained on each side, then that conversation was pointless. It was a waste of time.
Yeah. One of the questions I had too, we talked about it on one of our episodes. The patience is a virtue. When you started doing your tattoos, did you say, like, were you thinking in the moment of where you wanted to be now, or how were you, what was your process? Like, were you eager, or were you more patient to just learn as much as you can? Or, like, how did you go about accomplishing the goals that you have now?
That came with time, man. When I first started tattooing, I didn't have any expectations at all. Like, I seen the tattoos that I liked. I said, yeah, I want to learn how to do that. But I didn't really think about the future so much. I was more so thinking in the past and what I'm currently doing. Like, I didn't know I would be here.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I had no goal. I had no forward thinking. I was just thinking just straight tattooing. My mindset when I first started tattooing was just to learn how to tattoo. That was it. That was completely it. No more.
That's crazy. You know, because a lot of people, like, we were talking about it, like, if you want to be a lawyer or you want to be an artist, you always say, well, I want that shop. I want it now. Yeah. You kind of just get in that moment.
Yeah.
And instead of, like, saying, all right, well, let me start my first tattoo and let me start my second. And then now you're probably at, what, 200?
200. It's more than 200 tattoos.
1,000, 200,000. My bad. It's 200,000.
Yo, don't strip. Don't try me, my G. Yeah, come on. 200? You don't know he's joking.
Jay Lewis,
B.
I know that was a joke.
Man, I wish I would have counted how many tattoos are just to know, but it's a lot, man.
I have a question now. I do want to talk really fast about veganism, though. Like, what inspired you to do that? And how long have you been a vegan?
Vegan 4 years. I haven't had meat in 4 years now. What inspired that? Research with history. I'm really big on learning about, you know, where we come from, pretty much, and more than where we come from, but how we lived, what we ate, what we, you know, what they thought about on a regular basis, what their goals were, what they was more connected to. And I had to dig outside of the Christian religion, which was given to me, which I didn't choose, but I had to dig outside of it and learn other cultures, because I know at the end of the day that all cultures learn from, you know what I'm saying, the motherland. It learn from where, you know, where we come from, where we are as a people. They learn everything from us. Damn near 100% of the inventions that's here today are because of us. But being slaves, you know, they say, no, he didn't make that, I made that, I owned him, so I owned the idea. So going back and researching those type of things is what inspired me. So my first thing I researched, of course, which many people research when they want to learn about, you know, the mind and stuff like that, is Buddhism. So, you know, they focus on learning about that culture. So I focus on learning about that culture. Then I went, you know, that transferred me into Hinduism, and that transferred me into other, like Rastafarian and all these other religions. And I looked at, like, for instance, Muslims and stuff. They have a holiday called Ramadan, where they fast and they don't eat meat and all this other stuff. So I looked at the reason behind them. Like, if you're fasting to purify your body and you don't want to eat, or you can't eat meat for those days, why are you just going to fast on that holiday to purify your body instead of continuously purifying your body long term, instead of just eating shit and then eating okay, then eating shit and then eating okay? You're just going to keep flopping back and forth. Why not just stay on one steady path and just always feel good 24/7? So with that in mind, I focus on those. I focus on what we ate back then and what connects with us more and what made me feel good at the end of the day. And what we was eating before we were initially brought here. I can't even really say that because there was black people everywhere on earth. But before we was given a way to eat versus the way that we was born to eat. So I started eating more fruits, more vegetables. I cut out, you know, first I cut out the pork, the red meats, and then I cut out the chicken, and then I cut out the milks and the cheese. Then I added back in the cheese. Came to pizza. Bandaged on that for a couple months, cut it back out, bandaged on it. And but by doing that, when you cut out something for so long and you put it back into your system, you get to really feel how that something makes you feel. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when you break up with somebody and you know the reason why you broke up with them, but you then you kind of miss them, and then you get back with them, and you do, they do something, and you're like, this is why I broke up with you. It's the same thing with your diet. So we're cutting out
preach, you know, brother Jay.
It does the same. It has the same effect on your body. So that, you know, I tried a burger again like 3 months after not eating it, and it made me feel like shit. I only took like two bites, and I spit it out and stuffed my mouth with fruits and stuff to make me feel better. But that's what I did. And then I learned from, you know, history. That's what we ate back then. It's more so vegetation. Like, vegetarian is actually really vegan. But here in America, we like to remix things and say, okay, I'm vegetarian, but I still want to eat a little bit of meat and a little bit of fish, which is still meat. And, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of cheese. But vegetarian is exactly what it's called. It's vegetarian. It's vegetarian.
Yeah, no, trust me, I get confused all the time.
Yeah, so in 1980 or 70-something, they came out with a new word called vegan. It still sounds weird.
We need a loophole.
It sounds weird, vegan. I would rather vegetarian. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I got to try that.
That's dedication.
Yeah. We got to try that one day.
No. I ain't going to say it was easy, man, but it takes time. Like, before before I actually really, really did it. It's crazy, you know, doing all those research on religion and fasting and stuff. I did a fast for 3 days where it was no food for 3 days straight, straight water. Straight water and, like, meditation. Make sure I ain't work, I ain't have nothing to do. So it was just straight water, meditation, a lot of sleep. The first day was good. The second day, I was starving. The third day, I got over it. And on that third day, it was actually Thanksgiving.
Oh.
On that third day, it was Thanksgiving. But,
sure that wasn't stomach prep?
Mm-hmm. Rather than you taking things, and you know what I'm saying. But you know, I did it for certain reasons. Some people might as well just, or they just rather take something that'll clean their body out real quick.
Yeah, like supplement.
Stuff like that. Yeah. I wanted to try it a totally different way. I like doing shit differently, so I tried it that way, and I noticed like my body and everything was so quiet. Obviously, I didn't eat. You know what I'm saying? So not only my body was quiet, but my mind was, like, silent, bro. So that whole time I did it, I didn't listen to any music, I didn't watch any TV. It was a straight loner shit in my apartment with my dogs. and just, you know, just not eating, just drinking a bunch of water, going outside, going in the sun, doing all this stuff. And by the time I ate again, like, I started eating very little. Of course, I didn't eat that much the past 3 days. I didn't eat at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't stuff your body with food because then you're going to get a stomach ache. But then I just started eating the proper foods and started feeling much better, more energy, not sluggish. I don't remember the last time I had the itis. I don't remember the last time I ate something and it made me feel like, ugh, or like a stomach ache. Unless it was some bad batch of beans or something. You know, the stomach started rumbling. But nah, man, it's been good, man. I love it. I'll never go back to eating anything dead.
Yeah, I supported a coworker like a couple years ago, and like I did like the first 3 days of Ramadan with her, and I quit. Like I'm not gonna lie, bro, I had a fucking headache. I couldn't even function. We were at work, and I was just like, "Yo, how you survive?" I mean, obviously she like was raised, born and raised that way, so she was used to it. And I literally couldn't function, like, could not function. I had the worst headaches. Like, I was, like, just zombie dying around the office. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I tried it, though. I lost, like, a good 2 pounds that within those 3 days,
no,
though.
No, you lose mad weight.
Yeah.
When I stopped eating meat, I lost, like, damn near 20 pounds
in
1 month. Damn.
In 1 month, bro. 20 pounds.
And you exercise, too, right?
Yeah, and I exercise. But this was the time I wasn't exercising at all.
Oh,
I was
wow.
Eating, like, I used to have a steak, like, when I would do, like, a long-ass session of tattooing, I would go to the L House or, you know, whatever steak bar, and I just order a big steak and some loaded baked potato.
Damn, that sounds delicious.
And, you know, with the bacon and the cheese and everything.
Don't think about it, man. We want you to go back.
But then I'll top it off with a side salad so I could feel a little bit better for what I just did. And then I'll have, like, a little drink, like a, you know, some type of fruity chick drink.
A margarita.
Yeah, like a margarita or something. And that will be my celebration for, you know, completing this long session of tattooing. But, you know, I stopped doing that stuff. And
now you just have mad fruit.
Yeah, mad smoothies, mad juices.
I deserve an apple.
Yeah, for real.
It's great time.
And you just want it to, the end results, it has to be a climax to the client. They have to look at it like, wow, like, yeah, this is dope. I want to come back for more. So, yeah, that's the number one thing.
Shit.
No, that is actually when I left that day, I had such an adrenaline rush. Like, you know when you feel like you just did something, your body feels cold, but then you're hot at the same time. And I was shaking, and I was like, damn, I want him to finish. Like, he could do a little bit more, and my body's just like, nah, nigga.
See that? Like, Ryan loved them needles.
Nah, chill.
I was shaking this shit.
Chill. Nah, it was cold. I was cold, and then, like, the
cold
the
turkey.
Body part gets... Nah, see? Well, this week...
Nah,
nah, but yeah, it got swollen, and I was just like, I do want to go back, but... This shit hurt.
Yeah, yeah. It hurts, man. It hurts. It definitely hurts.
But what's next? I know you got the you still have the shop coming in July.
Nah, it's been set back for some reason, dealing with the permits and the contractors and stuff like that. So the date now is in August. Yeah, cool. So in the meantime, to fill that little space, what I'm doing now is focusing on my clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time my shop does open, I have a full array of like a full line of designs and everything already set up in the shop.
Oh, that's cool.
Along with the artist that I do have in mind to work beside me.
Mm-hmm.
But the main focus is just getting the shop open, getting me in there, getting the clients in there, being a part of the downtown district in Orlando, the downtown art district, and just working beside other inspiring artists. Bringing them on board, and even I had an idea, like a Save the Hood project for the hood tattoo artists that didn't have the opportunity to learn the essentials of tattooing, which is number one thing is learning how to draw. Given that opportunity, be like, okay, maybe you should, you know, apply the ink this way, apply or you move your machine this way, or watch your machine speed and watch your needle depth, or watch, you know, look at the type of material that you're using as far as your machine. Is it cheap? Is it, was it an expensive machine where it does its work, or was it like an eBay machine where it really doesn't, where I can teach them more so how to, or even show them how to deal with their clients, the difficult ones, the easygoing ones, and, you know, the whole array of things. That's one of my projects that I want to work on. Is just going back, and that'll be my way of giving back to the hood. So to a point to where people could feel like they can go to the hood and get dope work from black artists that, you know, we're the one that created art. We're the one that created thinking. We're the one that created math. We're the one that created all of these things. So why aren't we the best at it today?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my projects that I want to tackle.
Save the Hood project. We're going to have these tattoo parties popping. I'm scared to go to them.
Yeah, so I'm saying. Like, and just imagine being excited to go to it. Just like people be excited to go to rap concerts and shit like that. Why you can't be excited to go to the hood to get a tattoo?
That's dope.
Final words. What's your, if you had to leave the people with one lasting thought, what would it be? All right, shout out your social media, all that good stuff.
Art Addictions, art_addictions with a Z. Justin Tattoo CO and artaddictions with a Z.com.
Wait, what was the second one?
Yeah. Just Ink Tattoo CO.
Is that all one word?
Yeah, all one word.
Got you. Just Ink Tattoo CO.
Yeah, it's my name with a K at the end.
Cool.
Justin.
You kind of creative.
kind of
talented.
Shirt is cool. You creative.
Yeah, that's cool. The hater in me. All right, you did all right. Nigga. You was all right. I'm getting a big head now. It's all right. But nah, we definitely appreciate you coming
through.
Thank you.
Man. Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate definitely going to have you on again. When I feel bold enough again, I might stop through for a tattoo. Not yet, though. But we definitely appreciate you coming through, man.
All right, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, continue success, man.
Exactly. Thank you, man. Much blessings.
Thank you.
And for the rest of you listeners, y'all know what it is. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for constantly listening, sharing, and rating, subscribing, all the above. We appreciate your love, your support. We couldn't do this without you. Until next week, it's cooling out.
Stay cool.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.